We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Joe, you've been around Rhode Island politics for a long time. Why did you decide to jump in and run for the General Assembly?
It's something I've always wanted to do. I've thought about it. I'm not getting any younger, and the opportunity presented itself, and it just felt right. In politics, it's all timing, and it felt like the timing was right.
You raised close to $100,000 as part of your campaign. That's a lot of money for a legislative race. Why raise so much money?
Money is a very important part of politics. Running for office, it's expensive to run a campaign. I was targeted by the Republican strike force as the number one seat to obtain, and I wanted to be, you know, forewarned is forearmed, and I wanted to be prepared. And I also wanted to build a war chest for the future in case the opportunity came for to run again for re-election or another office. It never hurts to raise money.
If Scott Avedisian doesn't run for mayor again, he's been there seven terms, I believe, would you consider it?
Absolutely. Scott Avedisian is an outstanding mayor. He's done a wonderful job. I would say this, that if Scott ran for re-election, he'd be unbeatable. So I'm not about to run against Scott Avedisian. But if the seat became open, that would certainly be something I took a look at.
Now, you have authored some legislation on the car tax. We all know this nettlesome, regressive tax is one of the least liked of all our taxes. What would you do that would help some of our lower-income motorists? What's your legislation do?
Well, I'm going to tell you first about why it's such a bad tax, then I'll tell you what my particular bill does. It's a bad tax for two reasons. It's a bad tax because it's unfairly taxes people on the value of their cars. Someone may be driving a $5,000 car and then being taxed on $10,000, and that's unfair. The other part of it, it's not uniformly taxed. You could have that exact same car taxed in Warwick at one rate, and you go over to Barrington or East Greenwich, it's another rate. And that's kind of ridiculous for Rhode Island. There's no reason that a car in Warwick is worth more than the same car in Barrington with such a small state. What my particular legislation does is it's a flat tax for the year and the age of the car. Regardless of the value of the car, the first 3 years, if a car was 3 years old or newer, it would pay, the applicant would pay, or in this case, the taxpayer would pay $600. If it's 4 years or older, there'd be a flat tax of $360. So it'd be $30 a month, and it's regardless of the value of the car, and it's regardless of where you live. And the reason for that is, at least in my belief, the car tax, in theory, is to fix roads and maintain the roads. So it doesn't really matter if it's an expensive car on the road or a non-expensive car. You're using the roads.
Joe, you managed Gina Raimondo's campaign for treasurer in 2010. If she runs for governor in 2014, will you play any role beyond being an informal supporter and confidant?
Probably not, because I have my own political career that I'm working on, but I certainly would help and support Gina. I think she's an outstanding public servant, and whatever she'd run for, I'd be very supportive, and I'd help her as best as I can.
There was a recent public policy polling poll that had Raimondo as the front runner among Democratic candidates. We saw back in 2010, Frank Caprio was the front runner, and it didn't work out for him. Do you have any concerns that she might be peaking too early?
No, not at all. Gina is very smart. She's got a very talented team. She also realizes that wherever she decides to run for will be a difficult race. She's taken some very difficult choices, some strong medicine for the state, but it hasn't been easy, and it's affected a group of people, you know, a certain amount of people who will probably work very hard against her. So she has no illusions that whatever path she takes would be a difficult path, but she's up for the task. She's more than capable, and I'd be surprised if she did not win whatever office she sought.
Governor Chafee has unveiled his budget for the year. What do you think of it?
I like the budget. I think it's a good priority of not raising taxes, and mm-hmm. It clearly increases aid to cities and towns. I would like to do actually more, and I would like to see if we could accelerate the reduction or the elimination of the corporate tax. We'll know more when the May revenue numbers come out, but I like the priorities that the governor has set in his budget.
You've helped to work out some of the disputes related to expanding the airport in Warwick. A lot of times it seems that NIMBYism holds back economic development in Rhode Island. What lessons have you learned, or what should the state learn from what you've seen in Warwick?
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm very proud of the airport. That's been a 12-year dispute. I was hired, and within 60 days, the city council dropped the lawsuit from 9-0 vote to file in favor of it for an 8-0 vote against it. So it was a lot of difficult tasks to do. The short version is that the people of Warwick know the airport's there. They know it's not going anywhere. What they want is communication, and they want certainty. There has been so many faults. Plans and promises and missed deadlines. The people of Warwick want to know when the airport's going to expand, where it's going to expand, when their homes are going to be taken, and most importantly, they want the airport to be a good neighbor. They want the airport to listen to them. They want the airport to do that. And I have to take this opportunity to congratulate the interim director, Peter Frazier. He has done an outstanding job in the 6 months that he has been, or 7 months he's been in charge there. And the communication with the city of Warwick has never been better under Peter Frazier.
I mean, one thing, though, these neighbors held up this project for years and years. And given our unemployment rate, given our poor economy, wouldn't it have been better to get this project underway a couple of years before it actually happened?
That is not true, Scott. The neighbors haven't held it up. The airport hadn't come to a real conclusion on which expansion plan they were going to use and where they were going to expand.
But wait a minute. This thing was shovel-ready a year before, really, you got involved.
Not quite. It was probably only a few months, but it was shovel ready. They hadn't decided if they were going to expand on Main Avenue or Airport Road. And once that became, then the city filed a lawsuit to prevent that.
Right, so, because of the neighbors.
Because of the neighbors and because of the unsettled issues regarding the glycol runoff and the unsettled issues of the acquisition of homes and a timetable for that. So once we brought everybody in the room, we locked the doors, and we worked very, very hard for 6 weeks. We hammered out an agreement that everybody lived, and while not everyone loved, everyone lived with.
I've got another question for you about Warwick Mayor Scott Avedisian. The mayor has been the Mr. Patient of Rhode Island politics. Do you think 2014 will be the time when he runs for a different office, such as lieutenant governor?
That's Scott's decision to make, but as I said with Gina, I think Scott is a very talented mayor. I think he's got an unbelievably good track record to run on. I think he would be formidable for any office he ran for. It's a personal decision and a political decision when he decides to seek higher office and what office he seeks, but he would be very formidable. I do think that Scott is certainly toward the end of his career as mayor and looking for other careers. Now, I don't know if this will be his last term or not, but whatever he runs for, he would be also extremely formidable.
It's possible the pension issue could be coming back before the General Assembly if some kind of agreement comes out of mediation now going on between the two sides. What criteria will you use in determining whether a pension settlement makes sense and, you know, how much savings have to be there for the state for you to support it?
Well, first of all, it's highly unlikely that it would come back before the General Assembly, although you never know. But clearly,
if there is a settlement, the General Assembly has to approve it.
That's clear. That it was enacted by a General Assembly by law, and it has to be modified by law. We'd have to look at the parties, the lawyer for the state, and see what his recommendation is, to see what the judge's recommendation is, and actually see, you know, the devil's in the details, so we need to see what the details are. I can't comment if I'd vote for or against anything until I actually see what it is.
Do you think the mediation's a good idea?
No. I think communication is a very good idea. I don't necessarily think mediation is. And this is a general law. I don't know how you mediate a general law.
Well, how does it? Yeah, but it's a lawsuit at this point. And
it's a lawsuit based on the constitutionality of the law.
Well, depends how you take a look at it. I mean, that's one aspect of it, certainly. But as in any lawsuit, what do you lose by talking?
Nothing.
The courthouse door is still open. So, you know, your friend, Ms. Treasurer Raimondo, was against this whole thing, whereas Governor Chafee and Mayor Taveras in Providence basically said, no, we're not going to lose anything by talking.
It's a lawsuit, and any kind of mediation or discussions must go through that process. I'm a lawyer, and you have to be very strict on talking to parties. And once a lawsuit's been filed, it has to be through the court system.
Well, it is.
And I think it's going on right now through the court system. I don't have a great belief that there'll be some kind of a concrete settlement. I think this is of significant importance not only to Rhode Island but to the rest of the country, and I think you need the precedent of a decision by the courts. And I don't think a mediation or a crafted settlement would have a lot of legal significance behind it. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, Rhode Island Supreme Court will be deciding this issue. With all due respect to Judge Tarafcotta, who I have a high degree of respect for, I believe it's such an important issue that ultimately the Supreme Court will weigh in on it. And that's the right forum for this kind of a thing.
A former Warwick school superintendent has gotten a generous settlement, as reported in the Providence Journal this week. There's no real explanation for why this happened. Don't taxpayers deserve that kind of information?
Absolutely, yes. And I was glad to see that the Providence Journal, Barbara Policchetti, did ask for a Freedom of Information request to get some of the details. I'm all about transparency, so we absolutely should know the details of that. This is public funds, and when the public funds are being spent, we should know why.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Representative Joe Shikarchi, a Warwick Democrat.
My pleasure. Thank you.